you, Tonda. Great, great song. Great blessing. It's the first time I've ever heard her sing. That was great, wasn't it? Great, great song. If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11? Hebrews chapter number 11. So good to see Ruth Crozier and Daisy here this morning. And as most of you know, that Ruth sold her house and is moving away from us. So make sure that you see her and hug her before she leaves from the services today. Hebrews chapter number 11. And you'll find that on page number 1302 in that area. I want to be speaking this morning on the subject, a better country. I've had the privilege of seeing some foreign countries and foreign cities, such as Jordan, Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Petra, Jericho, Capernaum, and some other cities when we were privileged to go to the Holy Lands back in 1990. It still all seems like a dream. I have had the privilege of being born in the greatest country in all the world, the United States of America. And I love my country. And I am so thankful that the Lord allowed me to be born in this country. I think sometimes I could have been born anywhere in this world, but the Lord chose me to be born in America. But our beloved country has, for the most part, forsaken the one that created it. Our country is ripe for the judgment hand of God to pour out his fury on this God-forsaken nation. I don't know if you follow different things in the religious world or not, but recently the Wycliffe Bible translators have come out with the new NIV version of the Bible. I didn't care for the old NIV, but this new one, every time it refers to the Son of God in the New Testament, they have removed it. And not only that, but they've removed the word God and put in Allah in his place, because they don't want to offend the Muslims. Well, they better be worried about offending God more than they are offending the Muslims. We have turned our back on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have become so sinful and wicked that it just may be too late for repentance, but I pray not. But I still love my country, and I pray every day for revival and a turning around and getting back to the God of our founding fathers. However, this morning, I'm not going to talk about our country and what's right with it and what's wrong with it. That's another message. I want us to focus on another country. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 13. I guess it's going to be on page 1301 I'm going to start. Hebrews 11 and verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Now let's bow in prayer, please. Father, we thank you for the blessings that we've had this morning with all the good music and the fellowship, and we praise you for that. Now I pray for these next few minutes you'll bind Satan from our minds and from our midst. I pray you might empower me to preach your word. I pray the folks will listen. I pray you might save those who may be lost and reclaim those who are backslidden. I pray that the invitation folk will make a decision that they'll be glad 100 years from today they made. Bless your word. Thank you. It will not return void. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. There is not a country in the world where any one of us would want to live in forever, even our beloved country, because there's so much sin, so much lawlessness, so much crime, so much drunkenness, debauchery, and selfishness that we all long for a better environment. War and bloodshed, poverty, sickness, and death have brought us such sorrow and heartache that we feel like we're strangers and foreigners in a world that is not our home. I want to tell you this morning about a country where there are no tears or heartaches, where no one ever gets sick, there's no pain or death, a country that's free from war and bloodshed, where no one is poor. The people who live in this country never get tired, carry no burdens, and never grow old. No one ever says goodbye, for separations are unknown, and there are no disappointments there. In the country of which I am speaking, there is no sin, for nobody ever does anything wrong. There are no accidents of any kind. No firemen or policemen or military personnel will ever lose their lives trying to protect us. You can travel thousands of miles and never see a cemetery nor meet a funeral procession. There are no undertakers and no morgues. You will never see crepe on the doors because nobody ever dies. There are no grave diggers and coffins are unknown. I know a country where nothing decays. The flowers never lose their fragrance and the leaves are always green. There are no thunderstorms, no hurricanes, and praise God, no tornadoes like we've had on Friday. No earthquakes. There are no floods, and volcanoes never erupt. There are no germs or fevers or pestilences of any kind. The sun never shines, and yet it is always light because there's no night there. It's never too hot, never too cold, never too damp, never too dry. The temperature is always exactly right. No clouds ever darken the sky, and harsh winds never blow. There are no drunkards in this country because no one drinks, and tobacco is unknown. None are immoral. Men as well as women are pure. There are no illegitimate babies. Prisons, jails, and reformatories never darken the landscape. Doors have no locks. Windows have no bars, for thieves and robbers never enter there. No lustful books are read. As for unclean pictures, they are never seen. There are no apartments because we all live in mansions. There are none who are crippled and be seen anywhere. No, none are deformed and none are lame. Nor is anyone blind, deaf, or dumb. Homes for the incurable have never been built because everybody's healthy, well, and strong. No beggars clutter the streets, for none are destitute and all have enough. Leprosy and cancer and palsy and tuberculosis are words that this country has never heard of. No asylums are there because none are feeble-minded. Now you ask me, well, how do you know all of this? Have you ever been there? No, I've not yet had the privilege of visiting this wonderful country, but I know others that have. And one at least who has lived there for a long, long time has told me a great deal about this country. He has now gone back again, for when he was here, he was very lonely and homesick oftentimes while he was here. But one of these days, as he's promised in his word, he's coming back again. And meanwhile, he has promised me a trip to his native land. And ever since he's told me about it, I've just been longing to go. And from what he says, I am sure I will never want to come back once I am there. I have decided to make his country my country. In fact, I've already taken out my citizenship papers. I cannot understand why everybody does not want to go. Many, I find, like their own country and prefer to indulge in the sins that they're accustomed to, even though sin brings about nothing but heartache and suffering and sorrow and disappointment. I cannot understand it, but when I tell them about this country, they only laugh and make fun of it. Most do not believe me, and those that do, they don't care. I could not persuade them to go with me, but someday the quota will be full, and when it is, it's going to be too late for them. How foolish they are. In this country, there's a marvelous city, a city larger by far than any city that we've ever known of, and beautiful beyond description. The city is 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, and most amazing of all, 1,500 miles high. Whether it is a pyramid or a cube doesn't matter, for it staggers the imagination anyway. It would cover the whole of the United States from Canada to the Gulf of Mexico and from the Atlantic Ocean almost to the mountains. This one city. Then it is so high that if it were divided into stories, each one 100 feet above the other one, it would be so commodious that there would be room in abundance for all people of all ages to live there. The wall around it measures 260 feet in height and is made of jasper. It is supported by 12 foundations named after the 12 apostles, and these foundations are overlaid with all kinds of precious stones. What a city! The light that illuminates it is like the radiance of a jasper stone. It is entered into through gates, of which there are 12, each one guarded by an angel. There are 12 gates that are named after the 12 tribes of Israel. And there are 3 gates on each of the 4 sides. And each gate is a single pearl. The city itself is of pure gold. And there is a wide boulevard running through it, thousands of miles in length, also made of gold. Gold that resembles clear glass. What a glorious city. There's a beautiful river in the city that flows from the throne of the king and winds around in every direction. Its clear, pure water is never contaminated. On the river's side stands a tree full of life and capable of bringing healing to multiplied thousands beyond the city wall. It is a city that no curse has ever blighted and where everybody obeys the king. Only those who qualify will be allowed to enter this wonderful city. No defilement is allowed. No liars are permitted within its jasper walls. All unbelievers are barred. Murderers, spiritual mediums, and those who indulge in immorality are all kept out. They're not allowed to enter in. At the very heart of the city is a glittering palace of the king. His throne is surrounded by a gorgeous rainbow, similar to an emerald. At the foot of the throne are 24 seats, each one occupied by holy beings dressed in white. On the head of every one of them is a golden crown. The approach to the throne looks like a pavement of clear crystal glass. 4 magnificent beings stand on guard and chant praises to the king, of whom they kneel in worship. Oh, how I wish I had the ability to describe it to you, but words are so inadequate. You're just going to have to see it for yourself. Jesus called this amazing city the New Jerusalem. And oftentimes he spoke of it as my Father's house. The Bible teaches us that one day, someday out there in the future, maybe not too far away, that this old world, this whole earth of ours, including our country, is going to be destroyed by fire. I want to show you some of the predictions about that. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, that'll be on page 1319 if you have a King James Scofield Bible. 2 Peter chapter 3, and look with me at verse number 7. 2 Peter 3, 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And then go over a page that same chapter and look at verses 12 and 13. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And then go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65, page 769, 769 in your Scofield Bible. Isaiah 65, and look with me at verse number 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come in to mind. And then go over a page to Isaiah 66 and verse number 22. Isaiah 66, verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And now leave Isaiah and go to the last book of the Bible, almost the last chapter, Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21, page 1351. Revelation chapter 21. And look at verses 2 and 3, Revelation 21, 2 and 3. And I, John, saw the holy Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and shall be their God. So the king himself is going to dwell among men in this new city on the new earth. I want you to look at John's description that he gives us of King Jesus. Back up, if you're still there in Revelation, back up to the first chapter, please. Revelation chapter number 1, and beginning in verse 13 and following, that's on page 1331. Revelation chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if it burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And verse 16. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Where's heaven going to be? It'll be where Jesus is. Jesus said, where I am, there ye may be also. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. If you're still there in Revelation, look with me over to the 14th chapter. Revelation, the 14th chapter, page 1344, Revelation 14. Look at listen to verse 13, Revelation 14, 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Now, to die in the Lord means that you must have received Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior. Have you? Do you ever wonder what's going on in heaven now? What do they do there? How much do they remember? Do they see what's going on down here upon this earth? There's so many questions that we just don't have the answers to as of now. The Lord has told us in His Word all that He wants us to know about heaven at this present time. But there are so many, many things we do not know. We know that those who have gone to heaven are conscious. Look with me in the little book of Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. That'll be on page 1258. 1258, Philippians chapter 1. And look at verse number 23 with me, please. Philippians 1, verse 23. Paul says, for I am a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Of what value would a statement like this be if they were not conscious? How would they know they were with Christ if they were asleep? No, your departed loved ones and my departed loved ones who have died in Christ are very much alive and they are conscious. The Lord promised the dying thief who repented and trusted in Christ as Savior, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What a wonderful promise. That very day Christ died and so did this converted thief. Just as Christ was alive, so was this former thief. Now turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, page 1233. 1233 in your Scofield Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And look with me at verse number 8, please. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That settles it. That dear one of yours, who for years was present in the body and absent from the Lord, now he or she is absent from the body and is present with the Lord. The body, the tabernacle, the tent, the house in which they lived in this earthly life is cold and still. That's because the tenant has moved out. Where are they? They're with Christ. They're at home with the Lord. Now that they are at home with the Lord, do they remember us? Or do you think they have forgotten us? Did Joseph ever forget one moment that Jacob, his father, or his brothers, did he ever forget about them when he was in Pharaoh's palace? Did Moses forget his brethren, the children of Israel, when he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter? Did the little maiden from Israel forget her loved ones and the prophet Elisha when she was in the mansion of Naaman the Syrian? How could they forget? Love never faileth. Do we seek loving somebody when we go to another country? I never forgot my loved ones when we were in the Holy Lands. I never stopped loving them while we were apart from them. Look with me at another verse, please. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, page number 1303. Hebrews chapter 12. And look with me at verse number 1. Hebrews 12, page 1303, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Who are these that are so tremendously interested in what we are doing? Why, they are the saints and the prophets of all the ages. They are our loved ones who have gone on before. Are you not conscious of them? Don't you ever think about those loved ones who've gone on before? Hardly a day goes by but that I think about my mother, my mother-in-law, my brother-in-law. All over 500 funerals I've done in my ministry, I think about all of them from time to time. I am sure not a day goes by but Dr. Ruth thinks about Dr. Tom. I'm sure not a day goes by but Irene thinks about Clarence. I'm sure there's not a day goes by but Carol Spence thinks about her Dick. I'm sure there's not a day that goes by that Jim and Jenny and Jenica don't think about Jacob. I doubt if a day goes by that Camilla doesn't think about Charles. And every one of you has some loved one that you think about nearly every day. I am positive that they are thinking about us. And I'm positive they are waiting for the day that we will join up with them again. I cannot totally be satisfied until I am with them again, and they cannot be totally satisfied until we are together once again. They rejoice in our victories. They cheer us on when we try to live a good Christian life. Then I think we will recognize each other when we meet on the other side. David, you remember, in talking about his little baby, said, "I shall go to him." Does that mean that he will be able to find him one little tiny baby among the millions that are in heaven, and then when he does find him, recognize him as his? Absolutely. David didn't say he would go where the child had gone. He said, "I will go to him." If David would know him again when he'd only seen him for a few days, surely you and I will know our loved ones who were with us for years and years before they left us. Didn't our Lord's three disciples recognize Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration? Most certainly they did. Did not Mary recognize Jesus after his resurrection? You know she did. Stephen looked up into heaven as he was about to be stoned to death and saw Jesus in all of his glory. Those loved ones of yours who have died in Christ that you walk with on this earth for a period of time, if you know Christ as your Savior, you'll walk with them again when you get to heaven. Love can never die. Love is eternal. Look with me real quickly at a couple of three verses in the book of Revelation again. Back to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21, page 1351. Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4. "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will be with his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And then over a page to the 22nd chapter of Revelation, chapter 22, and beginning in verse 3. Revelation 22 and verse 3. "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and forever and forever and forever." Now back to the seventh chapter in Revelation. Revelation chapter 7. Revelation 7. And look at verses 16 and 17. "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them into living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." I love this country in which I now live. but I'm going to love so much more that country I'm on my way to. Are you going to that country? The only way you can is by having Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior. And if you have never trusted in Him, why don't you do so this morning? Let's bow in prayer together, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the little bit that You have allowed us to know about heaven. And we thank You that most of all, You've showed us how we can go there. We've got to look back to that time when our Savior was born into this world through the virgin birth, and how He lived a perfect sinless life, kept all the commandments that all of us have broken, and then went and allowed Himself to be crucified on that old rugged cross and paid our sin debt and shed His precious blood, was buried, but then 3 days and three nights later rose from the dead, ascended back up into heaven where He makes intercession for us, and one day is coming back again. They got to believe that and receive Him. I pray that all, I'm sure there's some in this fine crowd today that's never yet really put their faith and trust in Christ. I pray they won't leave this building until they do so. Bless the invitation as only You can do. In Jesus' name, amen.